So God is so good. You know, I like to go and start lots of times with something a little funny that I read. I read about a small country town that was infiltrated with squirrels. They were everywhere, and they were trying to get rid of them. So the Presbyterian Church, they went and prayed and prayed, and after prayer, they said, well, this must be the will of God. They're predestined to be here. Those squirrels are predestined. We can't do anything about it. So they did nothing. The Baptist church had them all around their baptistry. And so they said, well, I know how to get rid of them. They'll build a water slide. And these squirrels will go down the water slide and they'll drown and that'll be it. Well, they didn't realize squirrels could swim and they loved the water slide. So the next week they had twice as many squirrels in their church. The Episcopal Church said, well, we'll do it a little bit different. We'll put pans of whiskey all around the sanctuary. When they come and drink it, they'll get alcohol poisoning and they'll die. Little did they knew what a whole bunch of drunk squirrels could do. Lots of damage. The Catholic Church, they made them all members, so they only see them on Christmas and Easter. And not much was heard from the Jewish synagogue. They went and took the first squirrel and circumcised him, never saw another squirrel. So, we have no squirrels here. Amen. Even the two-legged kind. Amen. You know, God is good. And God is here to touch. That worship is powerful. You know, I love worship. And I'll just share something real quick. When we were in New Hampshire and pastoring a small church, I was leading song service and my wife was playing on the organ and all, and we started entering into worship, and God just started coming in the room. So after our so many songs, you know, I'm thinking, okay, I've got to go and get ready to preach here. And God said, no, keep worshiping. He said, keep worshiping. I'm saying, God, but I got a sermon here. You know, he said, I've heard you preach. Keep worshiping. Keep worshiping. And we just started worshiping. And the presence of God came in the room. People were getting slain in the spirit. All different places throughout the room, they just started falling. Somebody came to the front, fell to their knees, and started just crying to God. God healed people. God set people free. And it wasn't me. It was God saying, I want my way. And the praise and worship just touched and moved. And so I thank God for praise and worship. You know, I thank God that we can enter in. We enter into his courts with praise. Amen. You know, we serve a powerful God, and I want to go and get started this morning. You know, God, Jesus is a warrior. You know, I was thinking of Jesus is a warrior. He's not just a lamb or a little dove or anything like that. It says in Exodus 15:6, it says, your right hand, O Lord, is glorious in power. Your right hand, O Lord, smashes the enemy. Your right hand smashes the enemy. God wants to smash the enemy in your life today. God wants to do some things that you never realized today. God wants to move and touch. It says in verse 3 in that same chapter, it says, the Lord is a man of war, and the Lord is his name. He is the Lord Sabaoth. He's Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of the host of the armies of God, the angels of God. He is over all of them, and God is going to move and touch and smash some things around you today. God is going to help you and change you and show himself strong. And I love to see miracles. I love to see people get set free. I love seeing God do things that we can't fathom and we can't figure out. And the very first time I saw God just do a miracle, it was a little baby. You know, because I was kind of skeptical. I don't know if you ever were. You know, you get saved and you go, what is this? This is different. And I was newly saved, and all of a sudden, this little baby was sitting next to me, and it was crying all service. I'm going, but I could see it wasn't feeling good. This baby was sick, and it wasn't feeling good. And at the end of the service, this lady took her child up to get prayed for. And when she did, when he just prayed for that child, boom, it changed. His face went from red to back to normal light pink. It stopped crying right then. I walked up because I wanted to find out. And that baby got healed that moment, right then. I said, God, you are real. You know, God, you are real. Because our skeptic minds say, well, did they really have a backache? You know, did they really get healed? You know, and people say, God touched me. But God is a warrior. And I love seeing miracles. And one of the stories I want to go into today is Elijah. Elijah in the Old Testament. I like this story because Elijah went and, you know, he saw powerful miracles. Boom, boom, boom. But then all of a sudden, he dies. He dies, and it says in 2 Kings 13, says in verse 20, says, tell the story of this happening. Then Elijah died, and they buried him. And a raiding bands of Moab invaded the land in the spring of the year. So it was as they were burying a man that suddenly they spied a band of raiders, and they put the man in the tomb of Elijah. And when the man was let down and touched the bones of Elijah, he revived and stood up. Whoa. Here's a funeral going on. Everybody's just there paying their respects, doing all the things when a person dies. And they look and they see these bandits coming. And they say, we can't finish this funeral. They're going to go and attack us. They're going to go and steal from us. We need to go and do something with this man and then come back. So they put him in the tomb of Elijah. And they dropped him down. And when this man touched the bones of Elijah, he stood up. That's a miracle. Elijah was dead. It's there, you know, they probably intended on coming back when it was easier and then taking the man and burying him. But here all of a sudden he touched a dead corpse. He touched the bones of Elijah and life came to him. Life came and touched and did a miracle right then. There's things in your body, in your life, in the situations that are dead. But one touch can resurrect life to those things. One touch can change those things in your life. It can move and touch. See, what caused this resurrection? That's what I was reading. What caused him to rise up? Elijah was already dead and gone. His bones were there. So there, he didn't do anything. And you look at it and the spirit has gone. There was no faith from anyone. I mean, the dead man had no faith. He was dead. They were burying him. The others there that were burying him, they didn't have faith. They just wanted to get out of there. They were watching their backside. So where was the faith? Where was the faith? And I looked at this story, and as I did, I was thinking, you know what? There's something here. There's something that was still on Elijah after he was dead. There was something still there that they couldn't go and see. See, God has put something inside of you that you don't realize lots of times. It says in the Bible, behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. He says, I've given you authority. I've given you authority. There is something that I have placed inside of you. We didn't just get saved to go and make heaven. We didn't just get saved. We got saved and called to set the captives free. You and I. Every one of you, no matter if you just came in here today, if you just got born again today, God has placed something inside of you that you can go back and you can touch your family. You can touch those that are sick. You can go and start to move in that situation. And you can see God set people free. See, I was thinking of that and I said, there was no faith there. But there was something in him. Bible says in Luke chapter 13, verse 12, it says there was a woman who had been over with a condition of 18 years. She had no ability to stand straight. And when Jesus saw her, he had compassion on her and spoke to her and released the anointing. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said to her, "Woman, you are loosed from your infirmity." God is saying today, you are loosed. You are loosed from that thing that's been plaguing you. That thing that you keep feeling like you're going around the mountain. You are loosed from those situations. That word loosed in the Greek is the word apollo, which means to free fully or to pardon or divorce. It's separating you, that you don't need to be bound anymore. You don't need to be set up anymore in that way. But he'll set you free. He'll set you free in your finances. He'll set you free in your body. He'll set you free in your family. He'll set you free in different areas. That you are loosed. Amen. And I look at it, and here she'd done this for 18 years, bent over. Couldn't straighten herself up. 18 years she's going through. Sometimes we go through things, and it seems like, when is it going to change? When is it going to change? I was teaching some of the guys in Africa this last week. One of the guys here, I was teaching them on I do Zoom meetings with them. And I was teaching them on how to trust God for their finances. You know, they don't make anything over there. But I said, God wants to help you. And one of the guys we asked at the end, I said, "Oh, do you have any questions?" And one of the guys said, "How long is it going to take?" I said, "Well, that's a good question. That is a good question. Because we say it ourselves sometimes. You get prayed for, and it seems like it's dead. You get prayed for, and you haven't seen it. You get prayed for, and it's still happening in your life. When are my kids going to serve you? When am I going to break through this thing?" And so he asked this, and I said, "Well, that's a good question. That's a good question. But what we have to do is we still have to trust God in the middle of it, when all these other reports are coming." And I was thinking of Elijah and what it was. You know, I watch these shows, and I see on the news that there's crimes that are committed 20 and 30 years before. And all of a sudden, they solve them because of DNA. They say, this guy touched something, he drank something, he did something, a spot of blood or anything like that. And they said, in the natural, we're just learning about this stuff in the last years. But there it was right there. Elijah died. A man got put down in the grave. And when he touched, there was DNA. There was something resident still on Elijah. That the power of God started to come through. The DNA. I heard one man say a long time ago, and I can't even remember. It hit me. Was DNA. Divine nature attributes. See, everything that's done in the natural is done in the spirit before. You know? You see the walls coming down in Germany. You know? They were prayed for and believed for way before. You getting saved, that was prayed for. Somebody said, "God, bring them in." You say, "But my family's not saved." But they were calling you in. Those people were saying, "Bring them from the north and south and east and west. Bring them." And there's a nature there that God has put inside of you. A divine nature. Divine nature. The DNA is running through you right now as a born-again Christian. The divine nature is there. That's why we talk about being in Christ and who you are in Christ. That's what he's put inside of you. And changed, and we have to grab a hold of that and understand that and walk in that, and we can see the resurrection power of God. See, you don't need an atmosphere. I love worship. No offense, Carlos. I love worship, but you don't need that because there's something inside of you. You know, I don't need worship. I don't need to get an atmosphere before I pray. You know, I can get down on my knees at home and just say, "Father, I just love you. I lift you up. I praise you. You are so good. I can be driving down the road in my car and I don't need the songs going. I can just say, Father, you love me. You love me and I love you. And you can start to see the atmosphere change because you're the one to change the atmosphere. Amen. Jesus didn't have an atmosphere. You know, Jesus didn't say, but Jesus had it inside of him that he would release it. And that's what you have inside of you if you would start to release it. You are the atmosphere. You are the atmosphere. When you walk in the room, the atmosphere changes. You ever notice that? You walk in the room, and back when I was working, I'd walk in the room, and they'd say, oh, you can't say that. I didn't have to say, get back. I didn't have to say, my ears. You know, when you work in construction, you hear all kinds of things. I didn't have to do that. They'd be telling a joke, and they'd say, you don't want to hear this. And I'd say, I don't. And they'd stop. They'd stop because I was the atmosphere. Jesus said, when you come, say, the kingdom of God is at hand. When you walk in the room, the kingdom of God is at hand. The presence of God is there for you to touch. And be that atmosphere. Be that atmosphere, that anointing. When the DNA of the Holy Spirit touches a person, what is dead in them starts to rise again. When you understand what is inside you in Christ, you can do things and say things and lay hands on things, and what is inside of you will start touching and changing people. It'll start moving and ministering. See, it has power to drive out demons. It has power to restore diseased bodies. It has power to heal emotions in people. It has power to take those hindrances and so much more. And God wants to do that for you and I, that we can walk and we can see people change. I've seen so many miracles. I saw a 5-year-old lay hands on a woman and watch her get set free. She got set free. She was burdened. She had all kinds of mind problems. She was tormented. And she just walked up and she laid hands, a 5-year-old, and said, joy, joy, joy. And all of a sudden this woman, boom, got changed. Her face totally changed. She got saved, and now they're in the ministry. She didn't want anything to do with it. She'd been ripped off in religion. I won't say anything what it was, the Jehovah Witnesses, but anyways. She didn't want it. She didn't want to even come to church. The only reason she came to church because her husband, man, was faithful for like 3 or 4 years to come every service. Men. You know, it's something because in church, you know, usually the women are they're more sensitive to the Spirit. You see them come and the men have to watch football. I like football, but that's what a DVR's for. You know? So anyways, I won't go off on that. I'll just stay here. You won't like me anymore. Amen. But there's an anointing, a DNA that's inside of you. Doesn't matter how young you are in the Lord. Doesn't matter how that you just got saved. And it's just, the Bible says that apostles, prophets, pastors, evangelists, and teachers aren't there to do it. You think, oh, they're there to do it. No, it says they're there to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. They're there to equip you that you can go out and you can do things in the school. You can do things on your job. You can do things because each of us has a sphere of influence. We have so many people that we touch. But God wants to use the whole church to go out and see the power of God and minister and change. Isaiah 10:27 tells us about the anointing. And it says, tells us that the anointing oil will destroy yokes. It'll come to pass in that day that his burden will be taken away from your shoulder and his yoke from your neck, and the yoke will be destroyed because of the anointing oil. Amen. So here, God wants to go and take burdens off people. You come here today, burdens are real. You know, you looked at it and you're going, you don't know what I'm going through. You know, God won't give up on you. That song. He won't. He won't. He won't. You know, these songs we worship, we sang, and God wants to go and just touch and help you through it. God wants to pour out. See, the only hindrance to your miracle, the only hindrance to your healing is that you believe there's hindrances to your healing. That's the only hindrance. Well, it'll work for them, but it won't work for me. Well, I don't know. No, there's no hindrances. There's nothing impossible for God. All things are possible. God wants to touch and set you free in a moment of time. I've seen people walk that couldn't walk. I've seen eyes open, ears open. I go to Africa and I see powerful things. But I see them here in the United States. I've seen stage 4 cancer. Somebody had, a couple of people had 3-4 weeks to live. This one guy, he went from 200, and he was a bodybuilder. He was big. He was about 230 or so, and just muscles. And he went down to about 90 pounds. He had like 3 weeks to live. I went over to his house. I took my list of healing scriptures. I said, you need to read these out loud. And I prayed with him, and I prayed with him again. I said, take these and read them over. And he went back to the doctor, and they said, you gained 2 pounds. And then he gained more. Then he got healed. Then he came back to work. He was a maintenance guy. Came back to work. Everybody thought he was dead. At work, they thought it was over. They said, yeah, they heard that he only had a couple weeks. God wants to do that through you. Amen. Cancer's a weak demon. It is. It has to bow to the name of Jesus. It has to bow. I prayed for a man up in New York. I was praying for a man who had stage 4 cancer. And we prayed for him. And I didn't see him jump up in the change or anything like that. But all of a sudden, about a month later, I got a message that said, he's healed. And it's been 6 years. And I saw him this last year when I was back. And he said, stage 0, still, stage 0. He said, God's a healer. But what it is I realize what God put inside of me. And you have to realize, you have to get a revelation of what God put inside of you. I mean, information goes this far. Revelation takes you. It changes things. When you get a revelation of what God did inside of you and what he has inside of you, it will break the yoke. It'll take the burden off you, and it'll break the yoke. What is a yoke? A yoke is a limitation. It's a controlling thing. When you're yoked, it limits you. It tells you what you can do and what you can't do. It gets you in that place. It was used to control large animals. It was used to do that, and it denied them freedom. The yoke said, you can't run around there. You've got to go and go this way. And we get yokes on us that say we can only go so far. You can't go up here. You can't go out there. You can't do that. You can't pray for people. You've only been born again for a month, a week. And God says, I'll break that yoke. There's nothing that you can't do. I will show you. See, it just shows. He wants to remove the burdens, destroy the burdens. I see people that just always, it seems like they're burdened. And they're burdened. God doesn't want that. He wants joy in your life. He wants strength in your life. He wants to break that thing off you. Doesn't matter what you came in here with today, you can leave it here. Amen? You can leave it here. God wants to go and show you. See, this is what happens when you understand the DNA. I got saved not just to make heaven. I got saved to live heaven. I got saved to walk in a different life. I got saved so I can know God and see Him do mighty things everywhere. I've prayed for people on the job. I prayed for people in my home. We had a Bible study in our home, and this elderly man, now he wasn't that old. He was in his 70s. I tell you, it was about 30 years ago, so I may have looked at him and said, "You're a little bit elderly," but it's looking better and better. I prayed for this man. He'd come for 4 years to our Bible study. He didn't even go to our church. He just lived next door. And he would come to our Bible study. He was paralyzed in his arm, and his arm just hung down here. For 4 years, he just came. And this one night, we just felt led, let's pray for him. And we'd prayed before. We prayed for him, and God touched him. And he goes, like this. Took the limitations off. Took the sickness off. He's waving his arm. He's going, wow. He hadn't lifted his arm in 4 years. God wants to take the limitations off you. God wants to take the limitations off what you have inside. He wants to show you that you can pray and see God move. You can see when you release the DNA. Don't just call and ask God to do it. It's in you. Release it. Say, in the name of Jesus, be healed. I talk to people and I ask them, I said, can I pray for you? And they usually think you're going to go home and pray for them. And they go, yeah, yeah. I said, okay, Father, in the name of Jesus. And they'll be in a store. I say, in the name of Jesus, set them free right now. Set them free. And miracles, I mean, God's doing powerful things in our church right now. If you're new here, stick here. Amen. Amen. Because God is doing powerful things. God is changing, bringing new people, bringing change, bringing people watching online. God has good things for you. And He wants to move through you. And you need to connect. And God wants to go and show who you are in Christ, who you are in Him, and that you can go and minister and move and see a new life. He has a plan and a purpose for you. He has good things for you, and it's all in revelation. Revelation allows you to function in who you are in Christ, not information. I mean, information takes us a little bit, but resurrection, when you understand the resurrection life of Christ, more than just taking the Bible and just reading it, all of a sudden it comes alive. It comes alive. I can tell scripture after scripture. I was only saved about 2 months. This is back in 1980. And I was reading the Bible one day, and all of a sudden this scripture just popped out in John chapter 12. It says, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk with while you have the light, lest darkness comes upon you and you do not know which way you go. And it just hit me. It was alive. And, you know, it may not mean much to you, but God was saying, if you walk in the light, I'll give you more light. And you'll walk in that light, and you'll walk it. This life is but a vapor. You may only live 100 years, 90 years. But if you walk in the light, He says, I'm going to give you more light. I'm going to enlighten your eyes. I'm going to enlighten your spirit. I'm going to give you revelation. I'm going to give you things. He's saying, do it. Do it. And all. And that scripture just hit me. And that's revelation knowledge. That wasn't information. That was the Word of God coming alive, the Rhema Word of God coming alive. And you and I, as we walk in the Rhema life, we can see different things happen. We'll see things happen. Our spiritual eyes will open up. It'll unlock the DNA inside of you. See, when you're sick, when your kids are sick, do you, Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray a miracle over my kids right now? Or do you say, where's urgent care? I'll run them to Pastor Gary and have him pray. You know, there's nothing wrong with those things. But the Bible says, seek God first. Seek God first. Pray for a miracle. You'll be amazed at the miracles God will do in your house. He'll do them in your house. He'll do them on the job. He'll do them. See, Elijah walked with Elijah. And as you read about Elijah, he did so many miracles, and then he asked for a double portion. Amen. He said, I want to do more. And Elijah told him, yeah, you've asked something tough, a hard thing. He says, nevertheless, if you see me when I'm taken away, you can have it. And here they're going down the road, and all of a sudden Elijah, a chariots of horse and fire come down and split them. Now most of us be going, whoa, do you see that? And Elijah kept his eyes right on Elijah. He didn't get distracted. Don't get distracted at what God can do. And he picked up the mantle of Elijah. He watched him taken away, and he picked up the mantle of Elijah, and he went to the River Jordan, and he went and slapped the water, and the water split. Now, I like that. I haven't seen that yet, but I like that. I like seeing God just do things, and Elijah just started walking in the power and presence of God, and he had this mantle upon him, and that mantle was, as he put it on, it just saturated his whole life. I have the mantle of Elijah. I have that cloak. I have that thing inside of him. And it just moved, and it had the presence that got all the way through down to his bones. And when he died, his bones still carried the substance. His bones still carried it. And I used to think, you know, about the anointing, but when I discovered what God is inside of me, I said, I can pray and I can see miracles. I see miracles. I've seen financial miracles. Like one man said, I don't need to ask you for money. I'll pray it in myself. I'll believe God myself. You know, you read about guys like Andrew Murray who prayed and just did powerful, powerful things with orphans overseas and money to feed them just came. He said, I'm not going to be, I know another pastor. He said, I'm not going to be a begging missionary. He said, I'm going to believe God. Amen. And God would just start, people would come and say, you know what, I want to help, I want to give, I want to do. And he did that. That's just carrying a mantle, amen, carrying something that you trust God. And Jesus laid hands on people, but he not only did that. You know, we try to make everything as a formula. You know, pray in the name of Jesus. Oh, you didn't pray in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Oh, you laid hands on them. Jesus laid hands on people, but there's time. He went and spit on the ground and took some mud and stuck it in a guy's eye and said, go wash. You know, I haven't tried that yet. I'm not going to do it today. Guys, people had different things, but they would walk in. Jesus went and he. Somebody comes to Jesus and said, oh, my servant's at the point of death. And Jesus said, I'll come. He said, don't come. You just speak the word and he'll be healed. You just speak. Sometimes Jesus just spoke the word. So we think sometimes that, oh, you've got to anoint them with oil because there's a scripture on anointing with oil. Well, there's a scripture on spitting and making mud, too. You know, you just work with what's inside of you. And you say, God, I believe. I believe. And I'm laying hands. And God will touch and move, or I'm speaking the word. It says in Isaiah 55:11, it says, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth, and it shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I've sent it. My word is going to go forth, and it's going to accomplish. And our timing, you know, no, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. It says in the New Living Translation, it says, it is the same with my word. I send it out, and it always produces fruit. It will accomplish what I want it to, and it will prosper everywhere I send it. So when you start taking the word of God and you get it inside of you, and you get the scriptures inside of you, and they come alive, and you start speaking those things. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want, be wanting, be lacking. He's a faithful God. You start saying, have faith in God. And you start taking the word of God and you start speaking it. You can know. They shall lay hands upon the sick and they shall recover. They shall recover, and you stand on that. But it doesn't look it. No, I still stand on it. I still stand on it. It's going to happen. People ask me, what happens if you pray and they don't make it? Well, they go to heaven. And I pray for the next person. But I've seen them rise up. I've seen them rise up because I'm not doing the work. He is. He is. I'm not doing the miracles. He is. See, we aren't crying to God anymore. You know, God, I need your help. God, I want your help. But you're releasing the greater one that's inside of you. You start releasing him, and you allow him to move. That's what Peter's at the gate, and there's a lame man there at the temple, and the guy wants money. You know, he needed money. And Peter and John, they said, silver and gold have I none, but what I have, in the name of Jesus, rise and walk. See, we think lots of times on how we have to meet the need. It's what I have will meet the need. What I have inside of me, what you have inside of you will do things. That's why I love seeing miracles. It's not me. I just love seeing people get set free. Love seeing them get set free. Love seeing God just to do powerful things. And that here was a beggar who'd never walked, and he experienced the power of God. You know, he comes and he's asking for alms, and they said, look at us. Look at us. In Acts chapter 3, he says, look at us. He's saying, don't look at all this stuff that you want. Don't look at the situation you're at. Look at us. Because inside of us is the power of God. Inside of us. You know, I've seen it over and over. Peter gave him what he had. And when you pray for people, you're giving them what you have inside that's already been in there. Woman with an issue of blood. Here's another one. Woman with an issue of blood, as you read it, it's in Matthew chapter 9. It says, and suddenly a woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years came from behind and touched the hem of his garment. For she said to herself, if only I may touch his garment, I shall be made well. Here's a woman who'd gone through something for 12 years. 12 years. She didn't want a meeting with Jesus. She didn't want him to say a special prayer over her. She said, if I just touch the hem of his garment, I'm going to be made whole. Jesus, in all his anointing, it flowed into that garment. It was there. And she just touched the garment, and the blood was immediately dried up. She was made well. Her faith reached out, and she attached herself to that DNA. That anointing that was in Jesus. She attached it. You see it? You see it with Paul. It says, Paul, special miracles were done by Paul. Or even handkerchiefs were sent and laid on people. And his handkerchiefs from Paul's body brought healing and deliverance to people. That's powerful. It still happens. It still happens. And you don't need to pay hundreds and thousands of dollars to get a handkerchief for somebody paying for you. That's wrong. And Jesus never charged for prayer. He never charged for... But here, some people said those handkerchiefs were like sweat rags. And Paul would be ministering, and he'd just be wiping the sweat off his forehead and the anointing that he had. And all of a sudden, these handkerchiefs, he'd give them to him and say, hey. And I've read stories and stories of people that got set free because an anointing that came, that thing that saturated Paul's life, that DNA that saturated Paul's life, got on an apron or a handkerchief. And they took it, and it still produced a miracle. It still produced a miracle. They weren't even in the same room. This is what happens when we go and we do that. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. And everything does not need to be perfect for your miracle. We think everything's got to be perfect. No. You might be doing something right. I look at Paul and Silas. Paul and Silas had a lot of things happen in their life. A lot of things. And as they were traveling, Paul got a revelation from heaven. A Macedonian man said, come, come and minister to us. Come and help us. So they set out. And they set out and on their way. When they get there, there's a woman. She was a fortune teller. Demons. Horoscopes, demons. That's just for anybody that needed it. She was there. And she goes and starts following them around. These are the men of the Most High. These are the men of the Most High. And as she was speaking that out, she was kind of mocking them. And Paul got vexed in his spirit. He got vexed because this woman, I think it was that same spirit that got on David when he said, who is this uncircumcised demon? You know, this Philistine that tries to come. He got vexed in his spirit. And Paul got vexed, and he turned to that woman and he said, come out of her in the name of Jesus, and set her free till she couldn't go and do fortune telling anymore. And they got all mad and they threw them in prison. But they were doing the will of God. They weren't doing bad things, and they got thrown in prison. And it wasn't, the Bible says it was the inner prison. It was a lowermost prison. And those prisons at that time, they weren't nice. They had a hole in the center of the room where all the sewage went from the upper room to the next level, to the next level, to down where Paul and Silas were. They were in a hard time in their life. Chained. Legs, arms, chained. They were going through a tough time even though they loved God. And they sat there in the middle of it, and they praised God. Now, I can see Silas. If he was like some of us, he'd have said, Paul, I told you don't mess with that girl. You went and had to go and mess with her, and you, look at where we're at. Started complaining. Silas could have gone and started complaining in the midst of his storm. It says at midnight. At midnight. Midnight's the darkest time of the night. You might be in the darkest time of your life right now. And it's midnight. And you're just sitting there, and it feels like you're all chained and you're all bound and you can't go and go anywhere. At midnight, and you go, that's where I'm at. I'm going through a tough time. And I was just doing the will of God. But it says at midnight, they started to praise and sing. In the middle of their hard time, in the middle of their tough time, they started to praise God. And they started to give him glory. Says the prisoners heard them. The prisoners heard them. They weren't All the prisoners heard him. There's times you got to lift up your voice when you praise. You got to start to say, Father, I just praise you. I just thank you. I worship you. I worship you. I start singing, but you don't want that. But you can praise and you can sing. Midnight is a dividing line between your yesterday and your today. Midnight is a dividing line between dark and light. Midnight is a dividing line between your crying and your joy. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Midnight, and you're in the middle of that hard time, and you start to praise God, and they praise God, and they worship God in their storm, in their hard time, when they were doing the will of God, and they praise God and gave God all the glory. And all of a sudden, their DNA got released. The divine nature got released. An angel came and started shaking the prison, and all the doors opened up, and all the prisoners got set free, and they had revival. They went to the jailer's house, and his house got free, and all because in the middle of my storm, I'm going to go, and I'm going to worship, and allow this to come out. Allow what's been put inside of me, the Holy Spirit inside of you, allow it to come out in the middle. And you can see God just move and touch. See, the hardship and the hard trials, it's not for your suffering. It's not for your suffering. We are built like a sponge that's filled with water. And when you squeeze that sponge, whatever's on the inside comes out. So when you're going through a hard time and you're getting squeezed, allow the nature of God, the divine nature of God start to pour out of your life. Allow it to come out and touch that situation. Touch your heart. Touch your mind. Touch that situation that you can see freedom come. See, Psalms 56, 8, and 9 in the Passion Translation says, you've kept track of all my wandering and weeping. God has kept track when you wander. I believe, I don't believe, I am, I'm serving, I'm not serving, and this and that. He's kept track of it. And he's kept track of all your weeping. All the times that you cried. And we go through hard times sometimes, and it seems like, I just want to cry. Even as a guy. You're just sitting there, and it's a hard time. And you're looking at it. You've kept track of all my wandering and weeping. You've stored my many tears in your bottle, and not one will be lost. Every tear you've ever shed, every tear you've ever cried, he's kept them. Doom. That's yours. That's yours. He says, for they are recorded in your book of remembrance. Then I like the next verse, verse 9. It says, the very moment that I call to the Father for help, the tide turns. The tide of my battle turns. The very moment that you cry out to the Father for help, the tide of my battle turns and my enemy flees. Hallelujah. When you are in Christ and you stand in Christ, you can call out to God and you can say, God, this battle's turning. Thank you, Father. My battle is turning. Thank you, Father. Every tear you've collected in a bottle. Thank you, Father. There's miracles happening right now. And it says, this one thing I know, God is on my side. God is on my side. See, your heart cry has touched the heart of God. Your heart cry, when you're in that place, God remembers it. And he's there to help you. And there's a new dawn arising, a new morning arising. And God's going to touch people. God's going to set people free today. Doesn't matter where you're at. Doesn't matter what you're going through. Smith Wigglesworth said, any man can be loosed or set free, no matter how he may be fettered or bound. Doesn't matter what holds you right now. You might come to church and feel good and go out with a joy, and 30 minutes later, you're plagued because something tempts you. That's always, and you're saying, I don't want to do this. I shouldn't do this, but I'm doing this. Something like Paul said. You know, you go and you're there and you're bound because of different things, whether it's sickness. I speak new life today. I speak new life over you today. I just pray right now. You've come in here. You're not born again. You came on your own. Somebody dragged you in, no matter what. You're here and you're saying, I'm not right with God. I serve God. I need to get right with God. Whatever it might be, God wants to set you free today. Give you a new life. Give you new joy. Show you the new life. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. I was crucified with Christ, Galatians 2:20. I no longer live, yet the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. A new life for you. Not just going to church. Not just going into the building. God says, I'm going to plant my DNA in you. My divine nature inside of you. It will set you free. It'll set you free from drugs. It'll set you free from alcohol. It'll set you free from pornography. It'll set you free from gambling. It'll set you free from all kinds of things and give you a new life. And I'm going to pray right now. I don't need to touch you. If Jesus could just speak and they all were healed, I'm going to just speak. Freedom. But you're in here, and why don't we stand right now? You're in here, and you don't know Jesus. You've come in, and you said, wow, I've never heard anything like this. God has a new life for you. And you're in here, and you say, you know what? I'd like prayer. I want to change. I'm tired of this. October 5th, 1980, I walked into a church. Walked into a church, wasn't looking for it. Wasn't even looking to go to church. A guy invited me to a wedding. And I heard the gospel. All kinds of junk in my life. And so I was the best man. Guess where the best man sits? Right there. Front row. Front row. And I listened to him share a simple message. And God just started dealing with my heart. This is your day for a change. This is your day. And they said, who would like to go and ask Jesus in their heart? I said, I will. I will. He came into me. Changed me. Changed me. What is it? It's going to be 44 years this year. Woo! Still young. Amen. But God has a plan for you. God has a plan for you. You're not serving him today. You don't know him, but you want it because it's here. It's been released. The divine nature is there calling upon your heart. And you want prayer this morning. I just ask you, just lift your hand. I'm not going to lift your hand. Yes, God sees that hand. Any others? Any others, God sees that hand. You say, I want to change. I want to change in my life. Any others? Amen. See, it's simple. It's very simple. We're going to go and say a simple prayer. Maybe you were a little nervous about raising your hand. I was, but I lifted it up. I said, I'll take prayer. We're going to pray a simple prayer, and I just ask you to pray it out loud with us. We're all going to pray it, so you won't be alone. Maybe you're in here and you didn't want to lift your hand. Just say it and mean it in your heart. And we're going to go and believe God to touch you right now. So just repeat after me. Dear Lord Jesus, I ask you, come into my heart. Give me this new life. I know you gave your life for me and will set me free from all my sins. I repent. I change my life. I change my direction. Fill me with your Spirit. Fill me with your power. A new life. Right now, I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's worship God and thank Him for it. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. You know,